Hello and welcome. I'm Lori Hardy, and thanks for listening in as we continue to talk with leaders in our community and beyond. Joining me today is anti-bullying expert, Dr. Glenda Brown. She's going to tell us her five top tips on how parents can help kids if they are being bullied. She is also the author of Gap-Toothed Smile Girl. Welcome, Dr. G.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
I am so glad to have you October is National Bullying Prevention Month. It sounds like that's your full-time job, what you do around bullying.
With being an educator, and now I am in a middle school. Well, you know, it is an everyday practice. I've had the opportunity to run the gambit. I've been an educator in higher ed. I've been in elementary schools. And right now my position is in the middle school.
I loved what you said in the beginning is that during COVID, bullying was down. And now with everyone going back to school, you want parents to be ready. So let's start with that.
Yes. Actually, one thing that I'd like to share is if your child's being bullied, I think a formidable force is the school district office. Your principal would be the first person, the counselor as well at your school, and then the district office if it goes to that level. But that partnership is phenomenal. I couldn't say much more about that. That's letting you know how intense that is. Because if there's an issue in the classroom, we can kind of take care of it with the counselor. If it has to escalate further, we go to the vice principal or the principal. It really depends upon how intense the bullying is. If it's a criminal matter, it goes beyond the school district. But if that partnership is already tight in the beginning of the school year, even before anything should happen, because you ought to have a good relationship with your principal, is your pal, as I was taught when I was younger. You ought to have that relationship that's really tight anyway for the child. The child will be the beneficiary, of course. So when there is an incident of this sort, your principal knows your child. They know their behavior. They know that you are a participatory parent. And I think it just goes over better than you just coming up cold. Someone's bothering my child. And then now you have to get all the background information before we can launch forward. I think that's great as well. Parents also need to know what are the bullying laws for that school district and that school. They need to know what's bullying, what bullying is not. And I always talk about this topic with my students. For instance, if two different people have an argument, differing sides, differing opinions, that's certainly okay, even if it's heated. That's not bullying. If another child has their backpack in the middle of the school aisle and their desk is behind this child, and they come into class, another child comes into class and trips over it, well, if it's not intentional, it is not bullying. So we have to distinguish what is bullying, what bullying is not, and know the laws of your school. So you'll be well equipped as a parent to, when you go before the district or the vice principal or the principal, exactly what to say and what not to say, or is it a bullying incident at all? Those types of things need to be kind of teased out beforehand. I think also parents really need to know, there's some parents that do, and I applaud them, but some don't know the social media sites that their children are on. They have to, I mean, I know the students, the children do not want their parents to know what they're doing on online, but that has to happen. Grab that phone every 2 or 3 days. The children should already let you know what the passwords are. I mean, you're paying the bill for this cell phone. They ought to be able to, at will, go into that child's phone and see what they're doing on TikTok, see what they're doing on Instagram, on their Facebook page. We can stop a lot of problems ahead of time if we just kind of just walk alongside with them on a regular basis, and perhaps some of these bullying matters will cease if they've started or not started at all. Also, I just wanted to recommend, if at all your child is bullied, there's a whole piece about that. Remain very, very common when they come to you and tell you about an incident. The first thing we want to do as parents and lovers of our child is, what happened? Who did what? And you kind of want to go at them, right? Because that's your baby. But we've got to remain calm. Because if not, if we get into our feelings and emotions, we won't be able to have a good response. Our child will see it. They'll get revved up as well. And we won't get a full story as it should be. And of course, with any story, there's always two sides of the story. So you get your child's perspective, of course, but you want to lean into the school counselor if they've been connected with, and if not, you need to connect with them. Also with the vice principal, and if it has to escalate, then to the principal.
A couple things have come up for me. Number one is, I remember back in the days, because my kids didn't have cell phones. I remember parents saying, well, I can't go in my kid's room. Like you said, I pay the bills. I'm going to know what's going on. So would you say the same when it comes to cell phones and pads and things like that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what TV show it was, but I remember years ago, there was an episode of a sitcom in which there were trust issues, was to say that. And the parent took the door off the hinges. Okay, so they couldn't have any privacy. So, I mean, this is old school, but I think what happens is some of our children are parenting themselves. I'm not saying to be mean to them. I'm not saying to be abrasive to them, but it's for their own safety. There are so many bad folks out there, and they just look for people that are unassuming and are not very crafty, and they pry on these people, our babies.
That's right.
To get information, and the kids feed into it. They come online posing themselves as a young person. And our children don't know that. So we have to be there to protect them. So yes, please, please get their cell phones every so often and check in for sure.
I like what you said about knowing the people in administration, the principal, the vice principal. And recently I work with a lot of single moms. And recently, one mom, her daughter, who is overweight, a beautiful singer, nobody knows that, but she's overweight, and kids were bullying her online, basically saying, go ahead and kill yourself. And she did go to the school, and the school basically said, there's nothing we can do, because even though it was school kids, it was online. How should she have proceeded with that?
There are organizations, national organizations, stopbullying.org. Those types of organizations will help you. They will assist. That's what they do, not just for National Bullying Prevention Month, all year, 365 days of the year. I would tap into, they have resources for not only for the parents, but also for the adolescents, the teenagers, the young children. So I would highly recommend, if you're not getting any traction at your school, that you take a step higher, because we can't have that. There's so many suicides because of bullying. We're trying to stop it before it gets to that point. And how do we do that? We have to find the resources. I'm saying, yes, go to your school, be really up in the office and knowing the secretary, making friends. So you can, when you need to see a principal, she will say, oh, that's Mrs. Brown. And she's here to see you. She's always on point and always here and advocating for her child. But if that is not your school district, I truly understand. It's not the only one. There are many like that, unfortunately. But take it to a level. Take it to another level. Don't stop. Advocate for your child. Advocate for your grandchild, because there are a lot of grandparents and guardians who are serving in this role.
That's so good, because I think an older generation is, if they're going to go to the school and the teachers and the principal say no, they think of them as the authority, and not that we shouldn't, but if they don't believe us, I like what you said, vet it out, make sure it is what it is. I love what you say, boost your child's confidence, even from the earliest stages of understanding. I think that's sometimes where the disconnect can come in.
I can give a personal experience. In my book, Gap Tooth Smile Girl,
love it.
That was my issue, because I was bullied as a young child. It started in fifth grade. I left a school where it was very nurturing. My neighborhood folks were there, the school kids, my relatives were there. It was very nurturing. However, my parents thought that it would be a better idea if we went to school across town, my sisters and I, because there were more resources there to help us to get a better education. Well, when we got over there, the children, they were all Caucasian students. And I came from an area where they were all African-American students. I didn't care. I was excited. These were new kids, new teachers, new experiences. But because the children had never experienced African-American children at all, a darker skin color, woolly hair, they teased me. They talked about the way I talked because I came from a different part of town. So apparently I had some type of dialect, or the way I spoke was not what they were used to hearing the way I talked. They talked about the hair, like I was talking about, and they talked about my clothes. And it was horrifying. I don't blame the children. It was something new for them. And they had no idea. And we're talking about back in the 60s, where there weren't a lot of African-Americans on TV. So an African-American child walks up into a classroom where the kids have never seen one in person. That's the big deal. And they did not know how to react. Fast forward, because you have to get the book to hear about more of the story.
Yes.
But towards the end of the book, Tam Cat's mother, and that's the main character, Tam Cat, she recommended that she go to a girls' club. And at the girls' club, she came into her own. The counselors helped her with self-esteem issues. They helped her discover her giftedness, and it was writing. She found out that she was a great writer by one day, the girls, it was a girls' club, they went to an event, an African event where there were African drummers outside and the kids were spellbound. Of course, I was too. And what we had to do was write about the event. I'm like, oh, wow. So I said, okay. So I started writing and my hand just kept going. I kept writing. And so much so, and this is an absolutely true story. Once the mentors and counselors saw my rendition of what I saw, they said, well, this kid can really write. And the local newspaper, one of the local newspapers got a hold of this essay and they wanted to publish it and allow me, and they asked me to be a columnist for kids. So I say all this to say, find out what your child is interested in. Keep exposing them to something different. Sports, music, spoken word, anything and everything, swimming, expose them, because we won't know where their giftedness lies if we don't give them opportunity, right? So I was grateful that my mom did that, because who knew? I didn't know that I like writing. And for me, it was a way of expressing myself. So my point here is, once again, find out where your child is gifted, find out what they like to do. And when you get them busy in that, their confidence levels will booster for sure.
That's so good, because if they're insecure, then they're going to respond different to bullying than if they are pretty secure. Is that?
Absolutely. And funny you should say that, Laurie, because I remember a young girl, and I'm going to call her name because this has been many, many years ago, but her name was Kia Reynolds. And they used to bully her too, but her confidence level was so high that it did not bother her. I remember her.
Wow.
So when your confidence levels are high, to your point, definitely, definitely, it makes a big difference in who will actually become a victim. You said something very key. You had a relationship with your son. So therefore, you knew he was not acting like his usual. So that has to happen first. Unfortunately, some children are raising children. They're raising themselves. You have parents working two, maybe sometimes three jobs, and there's a single parent household. So you might have a 12-year-old acting as the dad for the six and the three-year-old. So there's not a situation there where they can build a relationship, because mom or dad, they're humping, they're trying to work and put food on the table. So again, I think that's why these boys and girls clubs are so important. I know it's COVID, But if you can get to a point where if it's something that is maybe within the school, I saw something in my school feed, email about Boy Scouts starting up. If there are any types of clubs, cheerleading, any kind of football, if to get the child involved in something where they can act as a surrogate guardian for your child, because we get it. You know, there are a lot of single parents and we want to support them. And so let's find other ways of doing that. Give them the support and the hand up that they need. Maybe a local church has a youth group. I know there are certain students that get picked up in the afternoons. A church bus comes to the school and they give the children after school programming and they do choir. So there are things, I think it's more about just looking for the resources within your area. You may be surprised to find out that there are things for your child to do.
As I do this show, I learn about more and more things in our community. And I have talked to many people that have mentoring programs in Redding, California. My daughter, actually, Jenna, has a program called Catalyst because Redding wow. has a ton of foster kids. Sacramento put everybody, all the homeless people on a bus, sent them to Redding. So they started a mentoring program. And when COVID hit, the parents said, no Zoom. So they had to get a building and have all of the social distancing. But it has been a lifesaver, according to the parents. Yes. And then here in Seattle, there's a thing called Z Girls to help girls with their confidence. Ooh. Well, when COVID hit, they went on Zoom and now it's a national program. I do a lot of work with single moms and I feel like they want to do it all themselves. They think they have to and they don't want to be judged. So sometimes it's hard to ask for help. There's big brother, big sister. If we're willing to, number one, ask. And if you don't have the money, be willing to ask for resources. I love that. And something you were saying about you felt like helping kids, like you could help them because you could relate and you wrote the book. How is it that you tie all of this in with your students?
There's always an incident. There's always a time where you can, a mentoring moment, if you will, especially with middle schoolers, if you can imagine. There's always a time. For instance, in the book, we talk about Tamcat rocking her invisible tiara. Mm-hmm. And I love that line because there are times where, well, first of all, I let children know that they're worthy. They are important, even if their parents haven't told them that they have a giftedness that the world can't do without. We need you. And mm-hmm. so because of these things, this should make you feel much more confident. You are royal. Your royalty, you are young kings and your princesses. And what do royalty oftentimes wear? They wear crowns. Mm. And so it's not like you can run home and get a tiara or a crown when you're in a situation where someone's talking about you. If someone is making you feel very bad, someone's calling you out of your name, if they are keeping you outside of their circle, what you should do is put on your invisible tiara. You're always wearing it. So we're not even going to say put it on because it should always be adorned by you. You have to hold your head up high so your crown or tiara never falls. Now, if you will bow down, that means your invisible tiara or crown will fall off. So we confidence builders like those types of things we'd like to share. And we have a t-shirt that we have that we give youngsters as well to rock their invisible crowns and rock their invisible tiaras. I'm in an area where there are a lot of children who have not been told anything positive about themselves. And you can tell by the way they look. I think when I get to my, and I'm doing an anti-bullying campaign at my school. And when I get to that part of telling the students about their royalty, the eyes are all on me. Like they have never heard that before. That type of look. Not like I know that I am. That really I am. Mm-hmm. That thing. And so every time that I see one, a child walking down the hall and I did the presentation to their classroom. Are you holding up your teeth? I don't see your balance. Your face is not right. Get it up. Mm-hmm. Rock it.
So when you say you have an anti-bullying campaign, does this go through the month of October or all year? How does that work?
Well, my principal loved the idea that I am presenting at the middle school, but it has spilled over to the elementary school, and we're going throughout the school district. So I think it's going to go beyond October. For the middle school, each class is 75 minutes. And I go to each class two times. And it's an interactive curriculum, because think about it. We've got a lot of hormones moving around with our middle schoolers. They can't just sit down and listen to me yap, yap, yap. So it's interactive. We have fun games, and we're all learning. I'm a type of educator that if we're not having fun at the same time as we're learning, we're not getting it in. So we all, even if I'm teaching adults, I've always had to make it fun. So we're doing an interactive curriculum, and it's all built around bullying prevention and kindness. And specifically on October 20th, we're doing a school walk saluting Unity Day. We're excited about that too. So that's 600 some my students I'll be leading around for this walk.
I love that. My sister is a teacher, and I told her, I've got an interview with a anti-bullying teacher, doctor. I said, I'm really excited. I said, but what really bothers me is that I see that there are a lot of parents that are bullies. And I go, maybe we need to start with the parents. And my sister, in her wisdom, said, this is the next generation. We start with them so they will be the parents that don't bully.
I put a thumbs up for both of you ladies. Yes, there are adults that bully, for sure. They see that someone that's very quiet or to themselves or solemn, and you know, they dig into them. We see it at work. That thing is still happening. And also, I love what was said about young people. We're building a new generation, our lawyers, our doctors, our biologists of the future. Let's instill in them while they're young enough to absorb it. So I get it on both ends. Yeah.
I am a recovery coach. I work with women coming out of drugs and alcohol. I'm also a trainer, so I train coaches. And what I love is when we start setting the foundation, we talk about when you're treated like an object, when you're treated like a recipient, or when you're treated like a resource. And how so often when we're treated like an object, we're actually being bullied. We just don't recognize it because we do what we have to do.
Yes.
And when we're treated like a recipient, where it's sort of like shut up and take it, or beggars can't be choosers. But when we're seen for our resourcefulness, which I see, hear you saying with our crown, with what we have to bring to the table, that shifts everything. That's where both sides feel empowered.
Yes, absolutely. Empowered, and other people will now have to take a back seat that don't like that. And that's a reality that we need to share with not only adults, but with children too. When they stand for their rights, everybody's not going to like that. But right. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And they're okay. If you don't encourage them in this space where they're embracing their worthiness, they'll go back to where they were before because that's more comfortable. So yeah. We have to do a better job of encouraging them.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. A parent goes to the administration because their kid's getting bullied. Mm-hmm. In my mind, to me, that's like the ultimate danger, because now they're going to get treated even worse because it's... Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
I advocate for if after the parent has gone to administration or to the principal and the child is still being bullied, it's of my opinion that I would take my child out of that environment. It may mean moving that child out of that class, the seventh grade class, the second grade class, what have you. Or I would do that first. I wouldn't go as drastic as taking them out of that school, but I would start with the class. Oftentimes that might change things up for them. We never want to put our kids in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And they're there to learn. And mm-hmm. they can't learn if they're emotionally being wounded on a regular basis. Yeah. So I would try switching classrooms. And that has happened to a student of mine recently. They changed the atmosphere for him because the other atmosphere, the initial was just toxic. It was not good for him. So they changed him to a different team on the seventh grade. So I would try taking them out the classroom. And then if it really is really bad, possibly consider taking them out of that school, but not without counsel. I would still talk with the school counselor and get their perspective. because you always want to have enough ammunition and options before making any choices, especially drastic ones. You don't want to just up and do it. And to your point, once again, a formidable force, the parent or guardian in your school administration. That, and once again, I reiterate, if you make that relationship and connection during the beginning of the school year when you have their open house, they will know your name. They will know you know mean business mm-hmm. when there is an issue mm-hmm. with your child. They'll know you mean business.
That's so good. And so what I also hear you saying is, number one, advocate for your child, have a team, you know, make sure you're all working together, empower them. And, you know, I think about single moms, how it can be so overwhelming. And sometimes as a single parent, you just want it to go away. Face it head on, reach out for the help that you can get, because you're not an island. You know, we're never expected to be superwoman. Even if That's you're right. married with kids, it can still be very overwhelming. Look at it, face it, and get the resources. Find the help. Be willing to ask and receive.
Ask and receive. I couldn't have said it any clearer. Exactly. And I'm glad you repeated that once again, because there are people that want to help you, but you're not giving them the opportunity.
We often don't know. We don't even know what's available in our community. Like I said, doing this job, I'm finding out these amazing things. Do you have a website?
It is gaptoothsmilegirl.com.
Gaptoothsmilegirl.com. There's a lot more to this interview. If you would like to hear it, go to this station's webpage and look up Spotlight. Click on that and you can hear it as a podcast. Well, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I'm Lori Hardy, and thanks for listening in today. I sure hope you've learned something new. And join us again next week as we continue to talk with people that are really making a difference.